whenever we're ready, we'll just start. And hello. This is different from our daily podcast because my daily podcast, it's just you and me, Steve, right?
Yeah, and you know, I'll be here.
Steve's here, but today we have Dana Gould, and I'm so excited, Dana, because you're going to be on Comedy Gives Back.
That's right, Bobby, and hi, Steve.
Hey, Mr. Gould, I saw you on Ben Stiller.
Hi. Steve, could you just please, because he starts to get a little...
Anybody who remembers is nice.
Yeah, it was great and everything. Can you teach me how to do the Don Knotts?
Would you please?
I can.
Well, but Dana, you don't have to do any... May I call you Dana?
Please.
It helps with my, what do the kids call it, cred?
Yes,
your street cred. So I'm calling you Dana, and yes. They say, oh, what'd you do today, Bobby? Well, I talked to Dana, Mr. Gould, and they're, oh, wow. You are a wonderful man. I want to talk about Comedy Gives Back because it's, you know, the joke is, well, what's it giving back, and is it something we can flush? You know, was funny, wasn't it?
Bobby, you did. That's very funny.
Thank you.
You got a good one here, Steve.
Would you? Oh, God, he's sweating on me. So, Dana, there's so much I want to talk to you about. You're a dad. You're a comic. You're a creator. You're a writer. Mm-hmm. You've been around doing your thing for so long. You're an actor.
I thought you said you wanted to talk about my dad, and I was just going to...
I do.
I was going to kick back
on the couch.
I didn't,
but when you said that, I'd like to, yeah. You're a dad. Where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
You don't have the whole, you know, Steve...
Yeah, the car.
You don't say car?
No, I used to. I had one of the... I moved to California, and I was an actor, and I had an acting teacher sort of beat it out of me. And people think I'm Canadian because sometimes I say oot and a boat. It's just the way my Californian accent
mixed and mingled with the Massachusetts, mm-hmm. with the ca.
And people, when they talk about mm-hmm. Massachusetts accents, they do the Kennedys. But the Kennedys actually have a very bizarre accent. It's not really a typical Massachusetts accent.
No, I thought it...
Because they grew up in England because their father was...
And a lot of other...
famous Nazi sympathizers.
Some Latvian. I was going to say there's some Latvian in there and Lithuanian. And,
yes.
My father hated the Kennedys because he was a military conservative man. I think they're exciting.
I do too.
You know?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And when JFK Jr.
That was
passed,
sad. Yeah.
They interviewed, they were interviewing people in Massachusetts, and every single person was the same. They're our royalty.
Did they talk like that to you?
Yeah, they do. That's the blue collar.
Did you?
Sort of
I would want to say to them, would you get away from me? You know, wouldn't you?
Well, there's a reason
you got away from them.
Side of the continent.
You got away from them. Yeah, I just want to say one thing. I had a falling out with Phil Hendry, who is a very dear friend and executive producers are. Mm-hmm. I had a very serious falling out because he thought it was funny to say that John Kennedy Jr. had purposefully sent his plane into the Atlantic because the chatter between his wife and sister-in-law had gotten so cumbersome. They were talking about clothes and makeup,
mm-hmm.
that he decided to end it by simply... I said, you think that's funny? And he said, moderately. And I said, well, no, it isn't. And he slunk away. John, you were there.
I was there too, Bobby.
Right, but no one...
Well, humor is humor is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Humor is subjective.
My finger was in my nose.
That's quite all right.
Well,
ask Michael Richards.
I think
humor is subjective.
Ask Martha Richards?
Ask Michael Richards.
Oh, my God.
Humor is subjective.
Oh, my God. Do you speak to him? Does anyone speak to him?
I do, yeah.
Do you all the time?
I do. Not all the time, but when I see him.
Is he behind closed curtains and just sort of sitting in a chair? And
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think he... I don't know.
He doesn't
really
want to come out?
Pulled a disappearing act. I would have gone out the next
poor
day.
Man.
Just own it.
But is he a stand-up comic? You do it all, acting and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a... If you're an actor, do you have to be all like... Oh, I don't know, Steve. Remember Rich... What was his name?
Richard Burton. You got to be all like serious and everything. Or I'm kind of nervous.
It's quite all right.
Geez.
I'm just like you.
No, you're not. No. I can't see that.
Steve, you're going to start to urinate in a moment. Anyway, I apologize.
Always nice to meet a fan.
Well, he's and I'm the same way, but I'm more professional, and I can be more professional.
That's right. That's right. You're at the mic.
Dana, we had so many questions to ask you, but I do want to talk about Comedy Gives Back because you're going to be a part of it on Wednesday. On Daily Motion. Tell me, you know, is it a charitable effort? We just had our Falltacular. That's why I'm very interested.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry. And what is the Falltacular?
Well, the Falltacular and our Wintertacular, which will be in...
the wintertime.
In the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And then the spring, Tacular spring and summer. And what we do is we have a fashion show, we have the tiki dance, we have the fertility dances. We also, I'm brought out as the fertility queen in a headdress that is reminiscent of the carnival.
Right.
There's thongs and bikinis, but there's nothing sexual. There's squatting.
Well, ironically that you're in the, it's a fertility festival, but it's not sexual.
No, it's not sexual. It's more about the girl. Oh my God, no, it's fine, it's all right. Steve, don't rub my breast in front of the man.
Well, you got it all over the boob.
Human love has many forms.
Isn't that the truth? All right, Steve, I forgive you because Dana just saved you there with that wonderful human love has many forms. Sean.
You can see that on the internet.
Can you say what?
Human love has many forms.
That's right, because there's no FCC to tell you to edit it out.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Please don't touch. Oh, my God. Now, everyone with the hands. What is going on with the hands?
Well, you're a fertility goddess, Bob.
What happened at the Falltacular? Bill Emery elbowed me in my right boob.
Uh-oh.
And I just was knocked off balance enough where I didn't fall into the dip, but I just sat down in it.
Oh, boy.
It was 7-layer dip. I sat down into this dip, and I tried to make it look as graceful as I could, but I'm sitting in dip.
That's hard.
He pulled me up and began to, under the guise of, oh, let me wipe that off, probe, squeeze.
Uh-oh.
I think you understand where I'm going.
Do. Yeah, when he probed, eh?
Yeah, he did. Two fingers.
Took a liberty?
He took liberties. He said, oh, look, Bobby, there's some in the crevice. And, you don't have, and then suddenly the probing. I was extremely uncomfortable.
I would be uncomfortable, too. Have you tried to get on an airplane lately?
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried to get on an airplane lately?
Have I tried? No, yeah, I've been allowed to.
There's a lot of probing.
Oh yes,
going through the TSA.
Well, I won't allow them to take the photograph of the X-ray shot of my because I'm told that they can see your vagina.
Uh huh.
But not that you have one.
No.
But that's ridiculous, isn't it?
No, I used to have one.
Steve, they just saw Dana's vagina. Thanks. Oh, I just tossed.
I used to have a vagina, and now I'm saving up for a really good one.
Oh, you'd have a new one installed?
Yeah.
I think you're delightful, Dana. I love your little line the other day about life is change. Bruce Jenner's face.
Which is true.
It's very true, isn't it?
He's slowly turning into Kate Jackson.
Oh, my God, he is. He really is. Yeah. People say he looks as if he's been in a fire. Like Fire Marshal Bill.
It's true. Well, that is the beauty of plastic surgery is that because of surgery, Bruce Jenner now looks exactly the way he looked 10 years ago when underwater.
When underwater? Meaning what? Meaning if you have on goggles or something?
Yeah,
if you're not even goggles.
He looks now like he's under the like he's underwater. He's in the pool.
Oh my Lord! What do you think of them? Do you talk about these things in your stand-up act?
I know you talked about
global warming. I thought was just absolutely hysterical.
Oh,
about the Easter Bunny.
Mm-hmm. Wow, good.
Tell everybody, Dana, what you said comparing global warming to the Easter Bunny. You know,
I'm trying to remember. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the exact joke.
Well, here it is. You said, I won't do the joke, but you said.
Here I can do it.
I'll do it, Steve.
Well, you do it.
All right, I'll do the...
I'll finish it.
Okay. You said that people that believe in global warming ought to be left alone on account of there's people...
Oh, that's right, on account of the people...
Well, I wanted to finish it.
I'm going to finish it now. God, on account of...
I'll do it. People that believe in global warming are the same as people believe in Easter Bunny. You don't hassle people that believe in Easter Bunny, do you?
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
That's true.
That's true. So let them have their global warming. You're not going to drive down the road and scream at them.
Exactly. Let them enjoy it. Let them enjoy it.
Now, as I was saying, Comedy Gives Back.
It's a benefit for malaria. But
malaria.
I'm assuming it's a benefit to fight malaria.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. It would be a terrible benefit if it were to get more malaria.
Can we get more mosquitoes into the Panama Canal area, if possible?
Apparently,
every dollar means another mosquito. Oh God!
Yeah, every dollar spent goes to fight malaria, which is a terrible, terrible issue in the equatorial region.
Is that still? I didn't know.
It's huge.
Thought it got wiped out and everything.
Yeah,
no, that's what people think. It's like,
Is it fatal, or do you just wake up with the shakes every 10 years or something? That's what I heard.
No, for children, it can be fatal. And,
Lord.
And so comedy gives back, because comedy does take so very much, is destined to fight malaria. And I'm really proud to be a part of it. There's a lot of really funny comedians taking part in it.
Yes.
And always happy to throw my hat in
the
ring.
Dana Gould's going to be there. We love Dana Gould. We also love, I don't know. Who else is going to... John Brewer? Is he going to be there?
Might be there.
Or Jim Brewer? About Stan Brewer?
I think Al Capp is going to come by.
Al Capp. What about... on Daily Motion, Frankie Fontaine is a wonderful singer. I didn't know that he was also a comic. I know he was retarded. I shouldn't say that.
You can't say retard anymore.
No, you can't say retard anymore.
He had a facial, or was that made up?
What do you say now?
To who? You say...
You can't say retarded.
No. You can say deficient. You can say neck up deficient.
Neck up deficient?
Yes.
That's what I'm going for.
Mm-hmm.
Because, or rainbow mind is another one you could try. Because I've gotten so...
Rainbow mind, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I like.
Yeah.
He has a rainbow mind.
Yeah.
In the South, they say closer to God.
Well, what about closer to God? Isn't that cute?
They say that in the South.
My son's closer to God. It's okay.
I understand.
But he was just cast in a Dario Argento film. Doesn't that make me...
Well, Bobby, nobody knows what that is.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. But what it implies is that God gets very excited at fire trucks.
Meaning that any disaster...
The fire trucks go by and they just go berserk.
You are very original, I can tell. And as such, you run afoul of the Hollywood... thing, don't you? Dana Gould?
I certainly do, Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. You probably make managers and agents nervous. Producers. The club owners love you because you bring the people
in. I'm big in the clubs.
Yeah, you bring the people in.
I'm big in the clubs.
What is, right now, there's so much we could talk about your past in terms of your work with Ben Stiller. All of that acting that you did, connections with Ben Stiller, can you call him and say, Ben, or is it...
I don't do that. You know, it's funny. I don't do that.
Do you ever wonder, does he think of you?
I know. No, we talk. We're friends.
Oh, you do.
And I think the reason we're friends is because I've never
bothered him. Yeah. See, Ben, that's what I mean, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I just called up the one time.
We have a relationship.
Did you call Ben?
We have a relationship with Gary Shandling.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. And so, I try to keep that on what the kids call the down low. Steve calls him up all the time, bothers him, and I said, "You've killed us, Steve, just like Al Pacino in Carlito's Way. I'm dead. We're dead. You know.
I don't think
you killed
that's
us,
true.
Davey. Remember?
You think Gary?
Actually, we don't have a relationship with Gary. Gary was going to play our Faultacular.
Yeah.
He asked what it paid. We told him. He passed.
Well, it's a benefit. And what does it benefit? What does the Faultacular benefit? Wintertacular different? Does it benefit a different thing?
Yeah, the charities. I just bumped the microphone, Sean. Sean, again, I bumped the microphone. You can cut that out.
Yeah, they'll edit it out in the later on part.
That's a question that we don't like to answer, not because there's anything untoward, but it is your business, Dana, and after I'll tell you, but right now it's none of your business.
Okay.
For the purposes
of the nature of a charity, as you want to know
what
you're giving to.
You know why? I like to think that people will give no matter what it's going to, as long as it's charitable.
Yeah, but Bobby, I told you.
Shut up, Steve. Just because he's talking about what if this goes to set up a new memorial for the widows of SS soldiers killed, you know, and I said,
totally legit.
Mm-hmm. So my father's father, which would make him my grandfather if I was related to him, which I'm not. He was a stepfather to my father.
Oh,
I guess it's still a grandfather.
Still kind of.
He suffered from malaria because he was in the war, in the World War II.
The WW2. The WW Deuce.
The WW Deuce.
Right.
Or World War 11. Do you like that?
I do.
I love that. I love it. It's funny.
Is that yours?
Not a lot of kids, but...
No, actually, that was something that one of the veterans told. We were talking to my grandfather-in-law, and one of the guys that they sit in a place now.
BFW.
Yeah, and well, it's a beautiful, but they're all. Would you believe I addressed a class of kids the other day about the war, and they said, "Oh, that was World War 11," and I went, "Ha ha ha," and then I sort of took the kid hostage for a minute, scared the teacher, and they said, "Oh, I'm only kidding," and let her go.
Okay.
Just as his way of giving back.
I understand.
So, Dana, where are you headed now? Not from here.
From here.
But career-wise, after you do the Comedy Gives Back.
There's a lot going on, if I could throw in a couple
know.
Of bonus plugs.
God almighty, I want to know.
This Thursday, November 7th, my new special premieres on Showtime.
Oh, good.
Entitled, I Know It's Wrong.
Oh, my God, that's going to be so much fun.
And I'm very excited about that.
On Showtime.
On Showtime.
And Showtime is really getting good, Steve.
Well, are they the one, they had a Soprano?
No, they're getting better than the
HBO. They have Homeland.
They've got Homeland, which has won all the awards.
Right, all the awards.
They did Weed, too.
They did Weed.
Weeds.
And Dexter.
And Dexter.
Oh, God.
Take it easy. But... that's wonderful. Showtime is creeping up on everybody.
And
Dana Gould's on Thursday night.
November 7th.
November the 7th, what time?
I have no idea.
Well, it doesn't matter because it's different in every part of the country. And they also have it on demand, so who cares?
Yeah, you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in December, I am on a new show called Mob City that Frank Darabont wrote and directed.
Oh, my goodness.
It's actually a serious show about the LAPD in 1947 fighting Mickey Cohen and Bugsy Siegel and the mob.
Oh, that's like, what was the movie, Steve?
LA Confidential.
We've seen that.
That's a fun, glamorous time in Los Angeles.
Yes, and having done it, I can tell you, a lot of wool. There were a lot of wool.
I'll bet there was.
And everybody smoked.
Gabardines.
A lot of gabardines.
The gabardines.
A lot of wools.
Mm-hmm.
Pants way up here.
Mm-hmm.
Pants up right under your ribs.
Suspenders.
Yep.
Now, what about in the summer? What did they wear? They had to be hot.
They were just
and
hot.
The hats.
That's why World War II was then. They were just frustrated, and they just had to kill.
Let's kill someone, I don't get an air conditioner in here sooner or later.
Imagine
how angry the Japanese were, because they'd been spending all that time down there already.
It was already hot.
And they went probably...
Yeah, they probably went, to hell with it. Hey, let's go bomb.
Steve, I think it's racial when you do that, you know?
I didn't go like, rah, rah, rah. I didn't do the buck tooth.
And thank you for that.
The Breakfast at Tiffany's?
What's that?
The buck tooth. People always talk about Breakfast at Tiffany's.
That was the wonderful Deborah Carr.
The wonderful Audrey Hepburn movie,
yeah.
With George Peppard, who you might know as Banachek.
Well, I remember George Peppard as the... man in, what was the movie, Steve?
The A-Team.
The A-Team.
Yes,
A-Team.
Well,
with Liam Neeson.
With Liam
Neeson.
Who was...
It was wonderful.
But Breakfast at Tiffany's...
Yeah, fine.
Breakfast at Tiffany's is the movie where Audrey Hepburn plays a call girl who falls... It was sort of like Pretty Woman at the time.
Oh, she was wonderful.
And it's a beautiful, like, people think of it as this sort of light, frothy, romantic comedy. And in the middle of it, Mickey Rooney plays this horrible Japanese stereotype that's like out of a Carol Burnett sketch, literally like with giant dominoes for teeth going, Misa Goraitori, your rent is a rate. And it is the most.
Oh, my Lord.
It is so.
But you could do it back then, couldn't you?
But when you watch that movie today, it sticks out like a dead. You know when you go to the beach and people have 9 great toenails and then one dead one?
And they just have you like want to cut the whole toe off.
You want to cut the whole toe off because it looks like a Frito.
Yes.
That's what it's like in that movie. It just
and no one told. And I think that's what did it, because Mickey Rooney was on a really great film noir role by then. He had done Quicksand.
Oh, I don't know Quicksand.
Oh, you have to see.
Oh, I have to see Quicksand.
He did a marvel. And you're thinking, okay, he survived Andy Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
He did his little... child thing.
Mm-hmm.
He survived Shirley Temple and Deanna Durbin.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's doing the film. And then all of a sudden, it was as if someone walked up from behind, put it behind the right ear, and pulled the trigger.
And Joe Pesci'd him.
And it was the Japanese
stereotype. That's what it was.
Isn't that something?
He didn't recover.
What about Black Stallion?
Well, okay, good point.
I will tell you something.
I'll give you a mark for
that. And I'm going to use a little bit of street vernacular if I can. Maybe I should direct this to Steve.
Yeah, okay.
Getting excited.
I had a very good friend who was a stage manager on Broadway in Sugar Babies, which was the show that Mickey Rooney did with Ann Miller. And talking to Mickey Rooney over the course of 2 or 3 years, that guy had sex with everybody.
Mickey Rooney?
Mickey Rooney.
Oh, my Lord.
Mickey Rooney.
The poor woman.
He was married to Ava Gardner.
Mickey Rooney. Do you suppose, even though he's short, it may be as big as he is.
Yeah, I think.
Oh,
he was,
yeah, right, Bobby.
Well, you don't know, Steve.
I'm pretty sure he was married to Ava Gardner, or he certainly slept with Ava Gardner.
Right under Frank Sinatra's nose,
right
literally.
Under Frank Sinatra's
literally,
nose.
He could be in the room and Frank wouldn't see him.
It's true. Yeah. He was the. Just, he was like.
Frank probably said something like, "Hey, I can't. I'm going to do my Frank Sinatra. Hey, Ava. Hey, you know, like an Italian." And everything. What's that lump in the mattress there? Oh, it's a pillow. Okay. You know. And it was Mickey Rooney.
That lump in the bed keeps dropping Red Grange's name.
I wanted to ask you.
Isn't this so funny? You look at Mickey Rooney and you think, that guy.
Yeah.
You look at these old people and you think, well, he got a lot of tail. Pardon my French.
Well, he was so energetic, so personable. I can see that. I can understand that. Mm-hmm. He also, I thought he was a very good actor when he was allowed to be. Yeah, I watched a lot of movies with my dad, who's passed on. I loved him very much. I hated my mother.
Oh.
Bobby.
No, I'm very honest about it. I hated her guts.
And why is that, Bobby?
Well, I mean, she gave me enemas that were inappropriate. She handcuffed me.
Is there an appropriate one?
I think there probably is, if there is stoppage.
Right, okay.
Oh, God.
Point taken.
Oh, Steve, grow up. These are necessary. She handcuffed me to the... she got the idea from Chinatown, handcuffed me to the wheel of that car.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
I never Bobby, knew no. what that... And I asked my mother, what does that mean, Mom? She goes, let me show you.
What'd you do?
She handcuffed me literally to the wheel. And then, you know, let the brake off. I'm kidding. My mother,
she didn't
do any of that. No.
My Lord, I was horrified for you, Bobby.
No, my mother just died when we were very young, so I was raised. And I never really got the attention of my father, and people go, oh, we can tell. And I go, well, what do you mean? They go, because you're always chasing the affection of men. And I said, you dirty, filthy scum, and I would slap them.
Oh, I would,
across,
too.
Oh, I did, across I their too. Face. I slapped Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did the other day on the podcast.
Oh, no, don't. He's going to blubber. No, I slap men because I dare them to do something about it. You going to go to the police?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't harm them. I don't draw blood. But I slap briskly and vigorously. Steve, didn't I?
Yes, did. And everything.
Oh, do you follow through?
I do. A friend of mine, Margaret Gray, she does the slap and then the backhand, slap and backhand.
The Sterling Hayden.
That's the Sterling Hayden.
It's the Sterling Hayden.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Yes.
I was beaten severely as a child.
Okay, so you know what I mean?
Sure.
Well,
we call it the Hayden.
The Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that from the Sterling Hayden in Godfather?
It's the Sterling Hayden from The Killing.
Oh, I love it.
Uh-huh. Which has one of my favorite lines in all of motion picture history.
Which is?
Sterling Hayden is in the apartment and they're getting ready to plan the crime.
Yes.
And Elisha Cook Jr.'s wife has stumbled in and heard the plan.
Yes.
And she wants to go and Sterling Hayden goes, sure, I'll let you go, but then you might talk. And if you did, I'd have to slap that pretty face of yours into hamburger meat.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And you believed him.
Sterling Hayden was a formidable man. I thought quite handsome.
Sure. Looked like a wingtip shoe, but was oddly attractive.
Well, in Johnny Guitar.
Oh, come on.
Joan Crawford and Mercedes McCambridge fight over him. And one of the great lines of all time, which I use all the time, Mercedes McCambridge walks up to Joan Crawford halfway through the movie and says, I'm going to kill you. And
yeah, that's pretty good.
It's very effective.
That is a great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch that now.
You should, Dana. Mm-hmm.
Which movie is it?
Johnny Guitar.
Have you ever
Johnny
seen
Johnny Guitar Watson?
No, not Johnny Guitar Watson.
The movie Johnny
the
Guitar.
Movie Johnny
Steve.
Guitar. You see, Dana knows.
Oh, it's just...
when you try to impress people as hard as you do, Steve, you sweat, you smell.
I don't mean to smell.
Well, you can't control it.
You just have to be.
You Steve. Have to be, Steve.
You have to be Steve. Be Steve.
Well,
and be.
I could be Steve. Steve. Or, yeah.
Be Steve. Or be Steve or be gone. I'm with Dana Gould.
That's a good line, Bobby.
Thank you. I'm with Dana Gould, and I'm bumping the microphone. I'm so nervous.
Oh,
you are a multi-talented man. Showtime special, debuting on Thursday. He's going to be in December in Mob City on Showtime, or where?
TNT.
TNT. It sounds wonderful.
It's very, very exciting.
And where are you doing the various stand-ups when they say stand-up? You could be sitting down.
My clown act?
Your clown act. Isn't that cute?
I'll be in Atlanta this weekend at one of my favorite clubs, The Laughing Skull.
The Laughing Skull?
Mm-hmm. It's a hip,
is that,
trendy alternative
is it a
comedy
skull?
Room.
Do you walk into a skull?
There actually is a skull decor.
Oh, Lord.
It's sort of a beatnik hangout.
Is it in the, what was the place we visited, Steve?
The Underground.
Is it in the Underground? The Atlanta
it's
Underground?
It's in the University District a little bit.
I don't know where that is.
And I don't know. I go to the hotel and the club. I just go back and forth.
I know, because you're busy. And then where are you going after that?
And then I think I'm here until the new year, and then I go.
Well, you're
going to
be busy. You're going to have to do publicity for the Mob City.
Mm-hmm, and I'm writing some junk.
And what about publicity for the special?
Well, yeah.
Well, right now you're doing.
I'm doing
that
this
here on the Bobby Dooley.
I'm on the booby dolly.
You know, you can say
you
that.
You can buy that.
I love
by
you,
the
so
airport.
You can say that. But if anyone else says booby dooley, then comes the Hayden.
You get
once, twice.
The back.
I might even throw in a third.
And it's funny.
If I'm wearing my 3-carat diamond.
Oh, yeah.
Then the backhand on the third,
yeah.
it'll open it up.
And
yeah.
It gives him something to remember you.
Mm-hmm.
What was the movie? There was a show or a movie that I was recently watching.
I gotta write down the Hayden. I love that so much.
Don't let the boys know about it.
No, I won't. Yes.
But what was interesting was there was a time in our country, and I don't know when it stopped, but that's how you could pretty much end an argument with a woman. Just... And then yes. and then it was over.
Well, women were hysterical in those days.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore.
No.
But women would go, oh, or whatever, you know.
Right.
That's pretty good, Bobby.
Well, it would be. And a man would have no choice.
Yeah.
But to say, snap out of it, slap, slap, slap,
right.
slap. Very quickly. Edward
yes.
G. Robinson is who comes to mind.
Indeed.
In Key Largo.
Yes.
After Humphrey Bogart offers the drink to Claire Trevor. You love old movies, and
oh,
I do too. I just love that. And he says... How's he do it, Steve?
Hey, soldier.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, do, do, do. No, he goes, 2-2-2, 2-2-2. So there's like 6 or 7 or 9.
Yes.
Very quick. I slowed it down once, and I could see Humphrey Bogart's face do a whole gravitational shifting.
Oh, do a shift?
Yeah, and you, just like in those old movies when they put them into a centrifugal force tube and make their faces go flat.
That was a hard movie for Humphrey Bogart because he had to play... a guy that was not, it was a, didn't want to fight, which is hard because you want to see him fight.
He'd been in the war, and I think he'd turned into a pacifistic and didn't want to do it anymore. And they said, hey, soldier, what about that soldier? Come on, hero.
Yeah, and he had a 19-year-old girlfriend and was probably tired.
Oh, my God. Lauren Bacall?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, no, in the movie he wasn't having sex with it.
Well, I'm sure.
I mean, the character that it played.
No, but I mean just
you
in
mean
life.
It?
Lauren Bacall. I mean she.
In life, he probably said, I had not a lot of fights. I can't keep up with Lauren.
Well, Dana, you are a delight. I hope this hasn't been disjointed.
I've loved meeting you. I've loved meeting Steve. I love being down here.
Being down
I'm
here
such
at the Western
fan.
States. I want to have you at our Wintertacular. Would you do a few, can you do, would you, can you work part of the Wintertacular for us?
I would be my
get up and
honor,
do some after dinner comments.
Anything
that would be great.
Anything you need from me, Bobby. I'm on board.
That's why you're going to continue to rise in the stardom way because you're not egotistical and also you're not hiding in a hole like Michael Richards or
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein
in the house. Yeah,
in a house.
You got to get out of the house.
Yeah.
That's a lot of life, is just getting out of the house.
Why don't we just take this time to say to Michael,
all is
it was actually really funny. Everyone was kidding you, and now look at you. We're joking. It was hysterical.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
He should have said, it was a joke.
Yeah. Excuse me, I was only joking.
Yeah. Let it go. Get over it.
And now for my next act.
Right. Yeah.
But now he's
I always
eating.
Thought. Now
is he eating?
I hope
is
he's
Is he getting
eating.
Liquids?
This... to along those lines, this was always my theory that I really wanted us to do, and I thought it would have saved a lot of money and a lot of lives.
And a lot of lives.
And a lot of lives. And after 9/11, we just did nothing or said nothing for about 9 months, and then finally just said, you know, we really weren't crazy about those buildings anyway. And just... The world would be like, but then it would be, the world would just be waiting for us to do something because.
Wouldn't they?
It was like if you're at a dinner party and somebody comes in with just like a beautiful suit, but just a splash of blood across the front. You know something happened, but you don't know what. And we should have just done that. And then maybe after about 10 months, we just drop like a bunch of stuffed owls, just little stuffed owls in Afghanistan, and people are going, what are they doing now?
Just what does it mean, America is?
Yeah.
What are they plotting?
Just a big mind screw.
What are the infidels plotting? They dropped owls on us.
Yeah.
We know what this means. Or do the infidels think that they are so whimsically inclined that they can mock us? Well, they'll see.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Psyops, we would call it.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't have the sense of humor at that level.
No, we don't.
But I think that's a wonderful idea. It would be a wonderful idea if America would just say, you know, we're having a lot of fun here, and somebody just came in and
yeah, like took a dump.
Just took a dump on the floor.
Right.
Why'd you do that? And start crying. You know, what if the president the next day just went, why didn't you do that? And we're all bawling.
I think the country needs a good
everybody
cry.
Everybody would feel sorry for us.
I think the country, you know.
Are you crazy or something? We got to go and attack them.
Oh, stop.
No, I think the country needs a good cry.
Yeah, I do too. I tell my boys, I say to them, when you go out into that world and you take over and you see what you have to put up with, remember, you can always come back and live with mom.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, and stay here and I hope they don't, though.
Yeah, no, probably not.
I hope they're not listening to that, but
not healthy.
I pray to God they don't do that.
No.
Dana Gold, thank you so much.
We're going to let you go. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you both.
But also, Phil Hendry's driving me. He's downstairs smoking, chain smoking, and scratching himself and going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, because he has to get back into his radio show.
Well, he's a pro.
But you are so much fun. Dana's on Twitter, too, everyone, at Dana Gould.
At Dana J. Gould.
Dana J. Gould on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Facebook, too.
The Facebook. I'm on the Facebook.
On the Facebook.
The Tumblr, the Instagram.
Everything. So you can interact with Dana Gould. He's a wonderful
man. I have my
man.
Own little podcast. People can listen
yes,
to
you do.
Dana Gould Hour.
It's an hour-long podcast, Dana. Mm-hmm. Is it once a week?
It's once a month because it's actually 2 hours.
You see, you guys, he does once a month and he gets, everyone loads that.
Mm-hmm. I can't say load.
I mean download.
Download that.
Yeah.
I have the world's hardest podcast.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He just said hardest, and he said load. What are you going to do? You're going to edit that out?
Why don't you shut up, Steve, and let them deal with it? Can you believe this?
Well, God damn, I can't say anything right.
No, that's right. Not today.
It's hard to have a... Steve needs a mic.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm too afraid.
He's a scared too. I said, do you want a mic? And he goes, no, I'm a scared. And so I go, well, okay, if you're scared of it. He goes, isn't that right, Steve?
Yeah, I kind of am.
All right. Well, Dana, we're going to say goodbye to you now. We'd like to invite you back on anytime you want to come on.
I would love to.
Walk right in. I don't care whoever's in that. Just
I'll breeze right
sit
in.
Sit down. And good luck with your special on Thursday night.
Thank
Everyone
you.
Watch Dana Gould, Mob City, and all of the stand-up that he's doing all over America, trying to make us smile and not cry like babies.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dana Gould.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Steve.
I'm Bobby Dooley, by the way, wardrobe by Charles of Italy, and Charles of Italy located in the Agora Shopping Center.
To get access to all of the shows in our archive, just go to www.philhendryshow.com and sign up to become a Backstage Pass member. You have access to almost 5,000 hours of full shows going back over 10 years. If you want to get this episode of the Bobby Dooley Podcast, go to www.philhendryradio.com and click on the Bobby Dooley Podcast banner. And make sure to follow me on Twitter at RealPhilHendry and on Facebook at PhilHendryFans. That's fans with a PH.